Father in heaven, we thank you for such comforting truths from your word that we can sing together like those, that we are forgiven by the Son and his death at the cross on our behalf. Lord, that is what we cling to as a church family, as individual believers in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you might this morning open the eyes of any who have not yet seen the glory of yours in your Son at his death at the cross on behalf of sinners. Grant them that faith and repentance that only you can give. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to prepare to take the Lord's Supper together, or sit at the Lord's table together, or take communion together. That's what we do every Sunday together at Grace Bible Church. And to do that, I want to read just a few verses to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul, teaching the Corinthians, he said, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" What I want to do this morning that might be a little different than normal is maybe just teach us all a little bit about that and why we do it and how we do it. And then we'll take it together. What is communion? What is the Lord's table? What is the Lord's Supper? It's right here, what Paul taught us from Jesus. It's the eating of bread. It's the drinking of wine, or for our case, the drinking of juice, that was instituted by Jesus for his followers. It's called a remembrance. That means when we hold the bread and eat the bread, it's supposed to remind us, we are to remember his body given for us at the cross. The juice means that we are to remember his blood shed for us to secure our forgiveness of sins. And 1 Corinthians 11 is the primary teaching passage in the New Testament for the Lord's Supper. But what's interesting is that context that's been locked in the Bible for us by God, it's one in which the Corinthians were abusing the Lord's Supper. So God's choice for us in capturing this moment in the life of the early church is that we would read this account throughout all the ages, the church would read this throughout all the ages, and through that sobering context lens of the abuse of it, we would celebrate it. By God's doing, the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for believers to examine themselves. That's God's intent for us before we eat and drink and as we eat and drink. The question then is, well, who should participate in it? Who should partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, it is for the one who is trusting solely in Jesus' work at the cross for forgiveness of sins. And it's for no one else. It's for that person. It is a remembrance designed by Jesus for them. It is for that family of followers of Jesus. So every time we do this as a congregation, we recognize that there are some here among us who are not yet of the family of followers of Jesus. They do not yet trust in Christ alone, and we recognize that. And so as the trays pass, some will pass that tray of bread and juice by when it comes. Now, is that awkward? I don't think that's any more awkward than me going into your home and being a part of your family for an evening and me recognizing that there are some rooms I just don't go in, and there are some things with your children that I just don't do that I might do with my own. That's not awkward. That's natural. I'm not a part of your family, and that's the way it should be viewed here as well. There's a way to be hospitable and kind and caring to anybody who would step into our family and yet have there be family distinctions, is there not? You do it in your home every day, every week, and so do we every Sunday when we are together. So we want you to feel welcome if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ yet, and we want you to pass the tray by when it comes, if you would. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you come and visit from another church or you're looking for a new church home, by all means, please participate with us as we take it together. How often do we, as Grace Bible Church, take the Lord's table? Well, Jesus put no restrictions or limitations on it. He just says, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. So our choice as a church family is to do it every Sunday when we are together. Why have we chosen to do it every Sunday? Well, for us, it's an opportunity to keep the saving work of Jesus Christ at the center of our congregational time together, because we're remembering the death of Jesus on our behalf. And so it's a way for us to put the gospel at the center. There is a disadvantage in doing it every week, and I bet every single one of you have felt this from time to time, and that is that it doesn't allow for very much time to prepare, because it is one part of many parts of a service. Many churches do this once a month or once a quarter, and the whole service is designed to prepare your heart for communion. There are advantages and disadvantages to that. So we pick to live with the disadvantages of doing it every week. When does it take place in our service? Just like it normally did just now. We sing three or four songs, and then an elder or a man selected by the elders will prepare your heart for the taking of the bread and cup by leading you through a passage of scripture so that you can begin to think carefully about what Jesus did on your behalf as a believer. Now, when we pass the bread and the cup, you've noticed, if you've been a part of it, that we don't have any music going on or anything going on. It's quiet. You painfully hear every squeaking of the chair, every squawking child, which we love. And that's on purpose. We want it to just be quiet so that you can silently reflect on, prayerfully reflect on what the Lord has done on your behalf as you prepare your heart to eat and drink. Now, let me give you, in closing, some helps for you. It, knowing that we do it every week and knowing that you have this brief little portion to be ready for, how can you best be prepared? Prepare your heart before you come on Sunday. Live throughout the week with a reflective heart where you're evaluating yourself before God's word and in light of what Jesus did at the cross for you. On Saturday evenings, prepare your heart before you go to bed. When you wake up earlier. Don't just drag yourself out of bed and get in the car and come here. Prepare yourself before you come. Have you ever noticed how quickly your whole eagerness to worship can be derailed by a conversation in the car? Love each other well. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to ask for forgiveness so that when you come in, your relationships are reconciled with one another and you're in a good place with one another. And just another encouragement to arrive on time. Knowing that the songs are selected to help prepare you with the truths that are in those songs to sing, come and get the full benefit of all of the songs so that you can have your heart be even prepared by the music and the songs that we sing. Coming in later will only make it more difficult to be ready. And I understand with kids, that's a challenge. And God is gracious and he prepares us when we get here, I know. And then finally, three R's, if you'll remember these. Remember, rest, and resolve. Remember the Lord Jesus. That's what you're supposed to remember. Primarily, you are remembering a person, and in particular about that person, you're remembering that he died on your behalf. You're remembering that he shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. You are not to remember anything other than that. That's what you remember. It's a Jesus-centered moment. Remember Jesus and what he did. He does not ask you to work to secure your righteousness before you. You are saved because you have rested from doing his work. And so that takes you to the next part, rest. As you grow anxious in your heart and in your mind concerning sin that comes to mind, rest. God did not save you on the basis of deeds which you did in righteousness. He asked you to rest from your good works that you could do, and he saves you on the basis of faith alone. So rest in him as you take the Lord's table. But then also resolve. Resolve in your heart that where you see your weakness as a believer, where you see your sinfulness coming through, resolve by his grace to walk in greater faithfulness to him. Your love for Jesus is not shown primarily by your words, but by your deeds. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is the one who loves me." So resolve now on a Sunday to begin to walk in greater love of Jesus by being obedient to him. So remember him, rest in him, and resolve to live for him. Begin that process today. So the men are going to come forward. They're going to pass the trays. And when you have done those things in a moment, you can take it on your own when you're ready, and I'll come back up and close our time in prayer. Thanks, men.